traffic is congested with displaced Portlanders commuting to and from work from Happy Valley, Gresham, Hillsborough, Forest Grove, and Sandy. But more starkly, our tent cities are growing, our family shelters are overflowing. We must take action. You must vote yes today without exemptions that exclude tenants, and then ask what's next. Because while this ordinance is the best thing tenants have seen in forever, it's not enough, and we aren't done. I again thank you for your time today and your courage and willingness to take bold action to preserve our communities. Not a day goes by that I don't grieve for our friend Justin, who can't be here to see the results of the work that he and the Community Alliance of Tenants spent years laying the groundwork for. Today is the day that we take real action. For renters, for Portlanders who care about a healthy community, for Portland at large, for tenants across the state who will be buoyed with hope and change that change is possible, and for Justin. Because tenants' rights are civil rights and housing is a human right, today we need to get it right and keep Portland housed.
Good afternoon.
Hello. I'm Jenny Shaver. I serve as a board member on the Montevilla Neighborhood Association, and recently I started a Montevilla Housing and Homelessness Committee. I also chair that committee. I'm here today with the backing of my board because our neighborhood is being actively damaged by no-cause evictions. We really need the city's support to take a more active role for our neighbors who are facing this displacement. Recently, these displaced neighbors have included a blind senior citizen who was unable to afford a large rent increase and was forced to choose between homelessness and moving out of state. We've also had several large families with children who received 30-day no-cause notices in the middle of a school year. As a parent, that's an untenable situation. In all cases, the landlords have found more lucrative uses for their properties, and with no regulations from the city in place to protect their interests, renters are at a loss. The landlord's priority is their profits over basic needs of the tenants and any sense of civil responsibility. During a devastating and overwhelming houseless crisis, displacing low-income seniors, families, and marginalized communities is not the way for Portland to go forward. The thin line between housed and houseless, between the housed and houseless, was made more clear to our neighborhood recently during the snowstorm when our community came together to form a temporary warming shelter. We heard many young stories from young able-bodied people who were struggling to keep up with rent increases, only to lose their homes, find themselves living in their cars, and then unable to keep up basic hygiene and nor get sufficient sleep once they were able to find a job. These are basic needs. In order to keep a job, you must be clean and have slept. That's not happening in my neighborhood anymore. This ordinance will not fix the homeless crisis, but it will be a step forward in making those conditions better for people living in my neighborhood on the edge of houselessness. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tim Pitts from Northeast Portland. I'm the owner of Think Real Estate, which is a real estate agency on Northeast Broadway. We've got about 25 people there, and we sold around 400 houses in the city last year. I also own 10 residential rentals in the city with my husband. So I don't have to tell you, you already know how much the rent has gone up in the past few years. Living in Portland has gotten very expensive very quickly, and in that kind of market, there are a lot of people making a lot of money off of real estate. I personally obviously think it's okay to make money through real estate, but I think things are dramatically out of balance. Landlords have all the control, and tenants desperately need more protection. I am strongly in favor of the proposed relocation ordinance for those reasons. I think landlords should be able to evict tenants if they want to, but if they choose to do so without a valid reason, I can't see any reason why they shouldn't pay the moving costs of those people to find a new home. The vast majority of the time, no-cause evictions come because the owner, often a new owner, wants to raise the rents to market rate, which basically means they're going to make a ton of money, and they can spend a little bit of that money on the people that they're displacing. I'm somewhat on an island, but not completely in my profession here, so I brought with me over 20 letters of other realtors who feel the same way as I do about this topic. There is naturally opposition to the proposal, and I'm sure you'll hear from a lot of my colleagues who will tell you that this will damage the real estate market. But anybody who works in Portland real estate right now knows this is the hottest, most consistently strong market the city has ever seen. prices are going through the roof, literally. 5 years ago, the median sales price of a house in Portland was $244,000. Last year, it was $387,000. That's a 58.6% increase in the average home value in 5 years. 5 years. I don't see any indication that the market's in danger. People are moving here and jobs are moving here, and it's going to continue. People also claim that this proposal punishes landlords, and this is the one that really upsets me, I guess. Landlords are not being punished here. If you want to talk about punished, you should talk to the families at the Normandy Apartments, who found out that their rent was doubling in the middle of the school year, a situation so bad that Multnomah County had to step in to help them out. In this case, these people were playing by the rules and paying their rent, but investors bought their building, and those investors want to make money fast. So they raised the rent by $650 per unit. That $650 adds up to moving costs pretty quickly. It would be okay on those landlords. We all know landlords can afford this. They just have to budget for it. And believe me, I know the situation. As I said, I am a small-time landlord, I would say. I use my rental income to pay my bills. This month I got my checks. I will be paying my bills with that money. But I would gladly budget for these moving costs because I know that if I choose to issue a no-cause eviction, that is my choice that I am making. This really is an issue of fairness, and this is where I plead with you. Portland voters spoke in favor of expanding tenant protections heavily in the last election, and this is something that we can do right now to take care of all Portlanders, not just property owners.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony.
Panel 3, Jeff Edinger from Multifamily Northwest, and Charles Kovas, Rental Housing Alliance of Oregon.
Good afternoon. If you could please state your name for the record, that'd be helpful.
Jeff Edinger, I'm here to represent Multifamily Northwest.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Charlie Kovas, I'm here to represent the Rental Housing Alliance.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and councilors. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. I do believe that budgets are important. It's important for all of us to budget. As I said, I'm Jeff Edinger. I'm the 2017 board president of Multifamily Northwest. Our membership provides 200,000 units of rental housing in the state of Oregon. We have an issue in our state. We have an issue in Portland. We all agree with that issue. We do not have enough supply to meet our demand. There are more than 100,000 people moving to our state every year. Oregon's the most popular state in the nation. That's great. Go Oregon. But we don't have enough housing to house all the people that are moving here. Measures such as the one that you're considering today not only dissuade the construction of new housing, that new supply that we so desperately need, but they do jeopardize the health and safety of our residents. The people that all of us are trying to protect. I would like to walk you through a couple scenarios that our membership has used a notice indicating that a lease is up for expiration and will not be renewed. What is incorrectly being referred to as a no-cause eviction. And eviction is a totally different process. One, a homeowner relocates out of town for 2 years, maybe three, for business. When her business contract is up, she wants to move back into her house in Portland. She wants to come home. Under the proposed ordinance, she will have to pay up to $4,500 to do that, to regain possession. And yeah, I do want to talk about that male resident that lives in a community and is harassing children in that community. Why would we suffice our children to the court process and put them up on a stand and make them go through that when we can use a no-cause notice, an end-of-tenancy notice, to get that person to move? Under the proposed ordinance, it won't be an option. We'll have to reward that poor behavior with up to $4,500. What about the landlord that needs to put a new roof on their property or has other capital improvements? Under this ordinance, they won't be able to raise the rent to cover the cost of these improvements. because it'll trigger the relocation payment up to $4,500. This may result in houses falling into disrepair. What I'm standing here and telling you today, and I hope that you're listening, is that this proposal is well-intended, but it's not the solution. It will only exacerbate our problem. This ordinance will create another hurdle, another disincentive to add supply to our market. We urge you not to pass this ordinance and create these additional barriers to more supply. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's keep it respectful, folks. Folks, Commissioner Udaly and I agreed we're going to keep this respectful. Please thumbs up or thumbs down, all right? Let's show the kids in here that we can do that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Charlie Kovas. I'm a landlord's attorney, and I'm also on the board for the Rental Housing Alliance. No-cause notices are authorized by Oregon state law, Oregon Revised Statute 90.427. They're used for a number of reasons. As described, owners have people coming back into town. What about a child who's coming back from college or coming back from military service, needs a place to live? The landlord has a right to use their property as they see fit, ultimately subject to the fair terms of the contract. What about a situation, and I have a client in this room who issued a no-cause notice because there were drugs being sold on the premises. Why didn't they do a for-cause notice? Because the tenant in question who received the notice had threatened the neighbors with physical harm. None of the neighbors wanted to testify in court. As a result, the landlord used a no-cause notice. This situation is not just for drugs, prostitution, noise complaints, unauthorized occupants, repeated financial violations. In all these situations, you have neighbors who are afraid to testify. And in that situation, it's difficult to overcome the burden of proof. And in order to answer the commissioner's question, I hope this doesn't affect my allotted time, there's no difference between a no-cause notice, a judgment, on a no-cause notice or a for-cause notice. A judgment is a judgment. However, in the screening process, the conduct of the tenant is relevant. And so if they're evicted on a no-cause notice basis, they're not going to be negatively screened for that. That's where there's a fundamental difference between the type of notice that's used. But fundamentally, who is my basic client? My average client is a retiree, is a senior citizen. They're going to be impacted by this council's attempt to shift the costs from vulnerable poor people to vulnerable senior citizens. What does it cost to buy a duplex? Well, your average duplex right now, let's say it's going for $500,000. You put 20% down. That means you have a note to $400,000. That's $2,400 a month to carry that note. Then you add in $300 a month in taxes, $200 a month in management fees, $200 a month or more in maintenance, $200 a month or more in insurance. These figures assume the place is continuously rented. So now we are well up over $3,400, more than double the average rent for a three-bedroom. So let's not sit here and assume that landlords are full of a pot of gold. Let's also be clear that the average rents have gone down by $40 in the last 6 months. So it is possible that we are at the end of this economic cycle. There are some legitimate problems with the city's proposal. If one accepts the money, does that mean they agree to leave, or can they still reserve defenses and litigate? What if the tenant owes money at the time the notice is served? Is there an offset? What if the tenant accepts the money, spends it on something else, then refuses to leave, then hires a tenant's attorney, and if they win, then the landlord has to pay more money to the tenant for a situation where the landlord had a legitimate reason to issue a notice of termination? Fundamentally, whether this proposal passes or not, it does not address the problem of a lack of available affordable housing units. What it does is it punishes the people who have made it their effort and their goal to provide housing for all of our citizens.
Mayor, can I ask?
Yes, please go ahead, Commissioner.
And folks, every time someone hisses or laughs or does something derisive, it takes away for time. And we would not tolerate that if a tenant was testifying. We would not tolerate that if a tenant was testifying and a landlord showed disrespect. Let's show Portland, let's show the community that we are Portland and we treat everyone with respect who comes before us. Please.
Don't clap. Thank you, Commissioner.
And please don't clap. Don't get it. I don't want to get sideways with my newest colleague. I have a couple of questions. And first, I want to just say that I want to compliment our newest member because she gets to structure this form any way she wants. And I have been very admiring of the way she has gone about this legislative process. She did not, as a matter of rule, have to invite a landlord panel to come testify. You could have signed up to testify. She didn't have to invite you. And I think it goes to the basic sense of fairness that she has in debating this issue. So I compliment you for that. But since you're here, I want to ask you a couple questions. The first is, my understanding from the mail and the emails we've been getting is that there's likely to be a legal challenge to this if we adopt it. So I'm not going to ask you about that. But both the mayor and the sponsoring commissioner have said to anyone who wrote in, if you have an improvement, or frankly, if you have a better idea that addresses, that meets the sort of goals of this legislation, then we'd like to hear it. And that, I think, speaks to a certain humility. No one here claims to have a monopoly on, you know, good ideas. Unfortunately, I think we've gotten sidetracked with people forecasting legal challenges and other kinds of things. But since you're both here and you know what the goal here is in terms of protecting tenants, do you have an alternative that you want to put before us for consideration?
Commissioner Fish, I appreciate that question. What I can tell you is that I have never been asked to participate in this ordinance. My predecessor, the 2016 president, has not been asked to participate in this ordinance. And I don't believe that a three-minute presentation in front of a city council in this kind of environment is the proper location to have an intelligent conversation about alternate ways that we can solve the problems that we have before us.
Fair enough. But I think you understand why I'm asking. Because if
I understand why we are
legislating, and if you have suggestions that you want us to consider, in fairness, we have to give you that opportunity. Here's the other question I want to ask you. There's going to have to be some rulemaking process going forward to deal with unforeseen circumstances, to put some more meat on the bones and other things. And I think due process requires that we have some mechanism. I'm not sure we've really landed on the best way to do that, since you both have experience in this area. Do you have any advice for us in terms of rulemaking? Assuming we adopt this today, but we want to have some rulemaking process to deal with the one-offs, the unusual circumstance, the inequity that no one forecasts, where we want someone to be able to balance competing interests and make a rational judgment. Do you have any advice for us in how to structure rulemaking?
What I can tell you is what I just told you. These types of things take time. The mayor's resolution is a great step in the right direction, but it takes time. We need time to come up with solutions, resolutions, processes. What I know is that Multifamily Northwest, the organization that I'm here to represent, like I said, has 200,000 units throughout the state of Oregon. In some cities, that comprises 35 to 40% of the rental housing stock in those cities. Don't you think that you should give us more than 5 minutes time to help you? We're the industry experts. Give us more time. Do not vote yes on this today. Let us give you some solutions.
And my final question is, if it's our desire to set up some rulemaking to deal with some of the concerns that we hear in testimony today, and I'm assuming we're going to hear some very granular, specific, one-off type concerns, if we were to have some rulemaking process going forward, I assume you would fully participate.
I would fully participate, and there are many other industry experts here that would be more than willing to give their time to you.
Thank you.
I would also be delighted to participate, although I would defer to Jeff. There are a lot of industry experts here today whose opinion might be more valuable.
Thank you. I'd just like to make a few clarifying comments. I don't know if you were here at the beginning. So we are already planning on making an amendment to account for the kind of sabbatical situations that you're describing, so that someone that was leaving for a set period of time would not be required to pay relocation assistance. As far as child testimony, Vivian, would you be able to speak to that? That sounds like a pretty extraordinary circumstance.
That's extremely extraordinary.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, testimony has to be done on
the
record. If you want to come up here, reintroduce yourself. And I'm sorry, every time you come up, you have to state your name for the record.
My name is Vivian Lyon. And to answer Commissioner Udilly's question, yes, that's a very unusual circumstance.
Okay. How much does it cost to replace a roof on average? I don't know. I'm a renter.
That is.
Can you give me a ballpark number?
That entirely depends on the type of structure.
I happen to be an expert on that. I just had mine done, so I'd be more
than... Amanda, how much did your roof cost?
It cost $36,000.
Okay. And how long can you expect that roof to last?
It's a rubber roof, so it's going to last for 50 years.
Oh, my. So if we amortize that over a 50-year period, I don't think you'd have to raise the rent were you renting that house out more than 10% to cover that cost. So
I would love
the...
With all due respect, Commissioner, the roof is just one piece. My personal property taxes went up over 10% 2 years ago, so okay. I think there are other pieces the landlords consider than just one discrete repair.
You can't base this on personal anecdotes like I explained earlier.
That's correct. That is my understanding, is we're not basing this on personal anecdotes.
Everybody, we're early on. Let's all please be respectful. I said right up front that this is an issue that people are passionate about. Let's give due respect to everybody who steps up to that microphone.
So
this is a public chamber. It is owned by the public, and people have very different points of view on any issue that comes before this chamber. And everybody is entitled to respect when they're at that microphone. So let's try and remember that, please, so we can get out of here and feel good about ourselves and that we are a community that can work well together. Thank you. Continue.
That includes the commissioners sitting up here. What I want to make clear to you and to the landlords in this room is that this is a temporary emergency ordinance. We are attempting to help the most, to do the most good for the most people. We can never account for every possible outcome when we are setting policy. So while there may very well be some extraordinary circumstances that create hardship, by and large, the hardship is on the tenants, and we are asking the landlords to consider their role in our housing crisis and stop no-cause evicting their tenants and stop and consider not raising the rent beyond 10% if they don't want to pay relocation. Tenants are not furniture that can be moved around, and they are not human ATMs. If you expect tenants to save 3 months moving expenses, the equivalent of 3 months rent, when they are going to be lower income and have fewer resources than homeowners and property owners, then it is perfectly reasonable for us to expect property owners to be doing the same thing. And I would also like to say, as to rents going down $40, we know that it is on the upper end of the market. And I don't know if you represent my landlord, but I have not received a notice of rent reduction. Okay.
Commissioner Udaly, that's I appreciate your perspective. What I don't appreciate, I think it's very important that when we pass legislation and when we make rules such as this, that we have a fair representation of the citizens and the taxpayers in our community. What I just said before, I'm going to say again, my organization represents 200,000 units throughout the state of Oregon. I'm an industry expert. There's many other industry experts here. We were not asked to participate in a way that we can help. We can help. You just have to let us. Give us the opportunity.
We were not asked to... I know, in fact, that we had conversations with people at your organization, but you weren't asked to participate, and I'll tell you why. Your organization is among many special interest groups that support the ban on rent control that brought about the circumstances that have created the housing crisis we're in today. Your organization has had several years...
Please so, so... Several years. Commissioner... Okay, and then let's move on with the testimony, because you've got lots
of people... Had several years to come up with an alternative. Commissioner Fish just gave you an opportunity to give one, and I'll tell you what the most recent proposal from John DiLorenzo on behalf of Multifamily Northwest was. It's that we create a revenue stream based on selling tax credits to create a fund to provide 20,000 cost-burdened households across the state with $100 a month rent subsidy. We have 75,000 people in the city of Portland alone spending more than 50% of their income on housing. $100 a month is an insult to those households, mine included, as of December 31st. That is why you weren't asked to the table, because you are not willing to participate in a meaningful discussion about this issue. And when the rent control ban is overturned, we will be sure to invite you to the table when we are able to craft a more complex and nuanced rent stabilization policy that will work for our city. Thank you. Panel number four.
Thank you.
I'd like to reply, if you don't mind, just very quickly. The $100 a month figure was a figure at that. Give us the opportunity to sit down and talk with you how we can make that figure a different figure, a bigger number. It was also an average. And furthermore, why would you turn away any tools in this market that can help the people that we are all trying to protect?
Right.
You got to give us an opportunity.
All right. Next panel.
Thank you.
Chelsea Deloney, tenant, and Jessica Lee, tenant.
Only keep control of this chamber. If you start getting into it, it's going to be a shit show.
We have the Normandy people here, and we want to insert them fairly quickly.
Sure.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for coming.
Hello, my name is Jessica Lee. I have lived in an apartment building in the outer southeast trade district for the past 3 years. I love the community we have there because I have family who live in next door. And my two daughters, Angela and Venice, age 5 and 9, they go to Harrison Park Elementary School, which is next door. Last year, our building was sold to a California-based investment group who immediately raised the rent 10% through a new utility charge. Both my husband and I work at restaurants and made really low incomes. And a 10% increase is really tough for us. Luckily, with the help of a panel and legal aid, we were able to postpone the rent increase for a year, which allow us to be able to stay in the buildings. But this past month, they just sent a new lease, the new world notice to raise the rent for 25%. This is too much for us, and we will have to leave. My kids love the teachers and friends. They will meet at their school and ripping their apart from this supportive community would hurt them badly. I urge City Council to require some kind of relocation assistance for rent increase that are 10% or more. I don't want Portland to become a separate city where all the people who are working hard, cleaning and cooking and building in this city, can't afford to live in it. My husband and I are proud to be immigrants, and we want to stay in Portland. Please don't push us out. Thank you.
Thank you.
As one immigrant to another, welcome, and I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Chelsea Deloney. I am the daughter of Vanport and Redlining, of Eminent Domain in North Portland. My community has been experiencing a housing crisis since Black residency was legalized in Oregon. I have been involved with local housing justice organizations since the fall of 2015. But my journey to social justice activism was not born out of passion, but out of struggle and survival. This month, 4 years ago, I dropped out of college to work two minimum wage jobs and ate one meal a day while paying $900 per month for a 400 square foot apartment while pregnant. We lived in a cramped dwelling with black mold in the shower, blood on the ceiling, and a doorknob that was constantly falling out of the door. The heat also didn't work. No matter how many times we pleaded with management and the private landlord, they would never fix any issues. In response, I would receive malicious phone calls from the landlord about my unmarried and pregnant state. They retaliated against my annoying request by smoking underneath my open window, which was the only way to provide ventilation. The cycle of abuse continued until we were given a notice that our rent would go up to $1,000 a month. Our landlord also refused to return our deposit. As we scrambled to find housing, we faced many rejections based on my pregnancy, being black, and not making three times the rent. With no other choice, I returned home to my dwindling community and a house full of my other family members who had also been displaced due to rent increases. After returning to college 1 week after giving birth by C-section, I began and completed my bachelor's degree and went to work for a software company where I made enough salary to afford the skyrocketing rent prices. When I returned to view and apply for apartments in my area, the rents had all increased to at least $600 more, and people were still not willing to rent to a black single mother, even if I made more than three times the income requirements. My son's speech development suffered because, for those of you who don't know, stable housing directly affects early childhood development. After a six-month search, the only place that would take us cost more than 50% of my income per month. After moving in and meeting my neighbors, many of them elderly and helpful with my son, everyone received rent increases of $400 to $500 per month. Each and every one of the neighbors I had formed a community with had to leave. After losing my job at the software company, I prayed every day that my $1,300 a month rent won't increase, not even a dollar, as my rent is now 96% of my income. At this moment, there are no rental assistance funds available for us. Without relocation assistance, we can't currently afford the security deposit to even a less expensive apartment. I also can't afford to choose between feeding my son and keeping a roof over our heads.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
So, Commissioner, this is the end of the invited testimony. Is that correct?
Yes.
So why don't we take this opportunity, prior to everybody else having a shot at the mics, let's go ahead and introduce any amendments that the City Council would like to introduce. That'll give you all the benefit of the opportunity to comment not only on the main ordinance, but on any of the amendments that are offered up as well. So at this time, I will entertain motions for amendments.
Chloe, do you have an amendment? Well, while you're looking for it, let me flag one. So I want to... Oh, you have them? Go ahead.
No, you don't.
So... I took a crack at a potential amendment, which I've discussed with the two sponsors, that deals with rulemaking from the time that we adopt, if assuming we adopt this ordinance, forward, and in particular, how we might deal with any unusual circumstances that come forward from a tenant or a landlord that need to be resolved. And I appreciate the work of the legal department in drafting this. I don't think this quite does what I intended. So I guess the first question I would ask to the sponsors is, what is your intention concerning rulemaking? So if this is adopted by the council today or next week, and assuming there has to be rulemaking to sort of flesh it out, what is your current intention?
Commissioner Udaly.
Commissioner, I took a crack at an amendment to provide for some interim rulemaking and to sort of anticipate who can make decisions on hardship cases or this arose from the fact that we're getting a lot of feedback from the public and none of us are really in have the information we need to decide whether it's a real concern or not and to resolve them. So it raises, I think, an important question about from the time this ordinance is adopted, if it is adopted, what kind of rulemaking are you envisioning for purposes of putting some more meat on the bone going forward? And then what process are we contemplating where people can seek relief, either a tenant or a landlord, from some part of this ordinance?
Well, as you know, we kept this ordinance very simple because we don't have an Office of Landlord-Tenant Affairs in place that kind of regulate and enforce the rules. And the remedy for the tenant in this situation would be the same remedy they have now, which is to go to court with their landlord. I am certainly interested in, I mean, the reason that we didn't include an ability to appeal, I mean, that's the very reason we didn't include that. I'm interested in your thoughts on that. I do not know, you know, it was suggested that that could be a function that the Portland Housing Bureau could
deal
with. So
I'll put the concept on the table.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I have it developed enough to really amend it, but I want the public to have a chance to testify whether they think it's a good idea, a bad idea, or an alternative, they have a better idea. And that is to authorize the director of the Portland Housing Bureau to rule on any, what I'll call, for want of a better term, hardship applications on an interim basis, so that issues that may come up during this hearing where someone thinks there's a unique circumstance that the ordinance doesn't exactly cover, there would be a mechanism where we are delegating to someone the ability to make a ruling on any hardship application pending the completion of any rulemaking that we decide to do going forward. That's the concept, and it's not unlike what we've done in other circumstances where we delegate to someone else to resolve disputes that come up under something as complicated as this. I'm just not sure the language that we've come up with is ideal. So I'll put the concept on the table, an interim delegation to the director of the Housing Bureau to be authorized to resolve any hardship applications that are presented to him or her on an interim basis. That's the concept. And I would ask that we have a second for purposes of putting it on the
table. Commissioner, for purposes of discussion, I'll second the motion.
Right,
it's a safety valve, and that's
sure. And I'm very open to discussion, but I do think it's a little too complicated for us to hash out in this meeting.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So I'm flagging it.
Okay. Shall I move ahead?
Please, Commissioner Udaly.
And so, since I've never done this before, do you want me to read the exact language, or should I just explain the intent?
Why don't you just explain the intent,
okay,
and then we've been provided with the exact language, correct?
Okay.
Is it
Portland Renter Additional Protections?
Okay. Is this the correct document?
Yes, Section B.
Okay.
Highlighted.
We have received a number of phone calls and emails and visits to our office, to all of our offices, as you can imagine, overwhelmingly in support of the ordinance, but also people expressing a few concerns about the ordinance written as is. And we have definitely taken those concerns into account. So in Section B, you will see that we are changing the days prior to termination that the relocation assistance would be required from 75 days to 45 days. And that effectively takes care of the issue or the scenario that some landlords were concerned with, where they gave the relocation assistance at the 75 days prior, the tenant stops paying rent and or refuses to move out. By changing it to 45 days, we are landing that required payment in the middle of a time period where the landlord should actually have the last month and the security deposit, which would cover the remaining period in the event that the tenant stopped paying rent, which is unlikely since they need a good reference, but I guess could happen. In Section E, number 1, I'm just going to read this because I think it's short and clear. If, as of the effective date of the relocation assistance provisions of this section, a landlord has given notice of termination, but the termination has not yet occurred, the landlord within 30 days of the effective date of these provisions either shall notify the tenant in writing that the landlord has rescinded the notice of termination or shall pay the relocation assistance provided for in subsection B of this section. That's simply allowing them to... Pardon? Yeah, Jamie can speak to it in case anyone has any questions, but it allows them to rescind the notice so that they're not compelled to pay relocation assistance.
But before we get commentary, I'll second both for purposes of discussion.
I have one more.
Okay.
I just wanted to explain that last section as an offering amendment. There was some concern that because this immediately takes effect on 90-day notice periods, there may be landlords who are, because of the way the ordinance is written, automatically out of compliance and would be, you know, could be sued for damages because they're not in compliance, even though the law changed in the middle of their period. So the purposes of those last two sections as an amendment is to provide time with which the landlord can choose to either rescind that notice, reduce the amount of rent increase that they have noticed, or pay relocation and without penalty of damages.
And Jamie, will you go ahead and talk about section E number 2 as well, the effective date of relocation assistance?
That was just reinforcing what, it just wasn't in the original language before, but it was always our intent that it would automatically apply to 90-day notices and period. When the 90-day notice period changed with the state, you know, when it changed from 30 days to 90 days, it became an automatic, you know, anyone who was in a 30-day notice period had to re-notice to 90 days, and it's the same purpose, the same language.
Great.
So for the purposes of discussion, Commissioner Fish, I will notate your Section E amendment as the Fish Amendment.
Well, Mayor, but it's not, I'm not, let me just, I don't want to complicate things, but the legal counsel did a good job drafting something, but it doesn't quite capture the spirit of what I wanted. And what I really want to just put on the table is, I believe once the hearing is concluded, the council may wish to consider a process for future rulemaking. And I want to just flag that issue, get advice from people testifying as to what that would look like. And they may be mutually exclusive. We may be able to act on this and put in place a process for future rulemaking. I took a crack at it, but I don't think this really, I don't think it actually does what I want it to do. No disrespect for the attorney. I'll take the responsibility. But I want the concept to be framed.
Very good. So we will not refer that to the as the Fish Amendment. We will consider that the Fish process question to be discussed over the course of insightful testimony. And with your agreement, Commissioner Udaly, I will call you. Would you like these broken apart? It seems like they're all fairly connected.
Yeah.
So in which case, I'll just call it the Udaly Amendment, and it will encompass all of the different sections,
all
if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Very good, and it's already been seconded by Commissioner Fish for discussion purposes. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. I have a minor amendment, and this is on the issue of the it says here in the proposal that it doesn't apply for an owner who temporarily rents out the owner's principal residence during the owner's absence of not more than 1 year. I'd like us to consider an amendment that changes of not more than 1 year to for a set period of time. So the instance where the person's overseas for 2 years, it's clear up ahead of time that it's not going to apply at the end, and the lease will not be renewed. So I think that's one. I've also been reading a lot of really great testimony from people on emails, both for and against. And one of the questions that comes up a lot is the very small landlord who has maybe one to four units, and so therefore not as much flexibility as when some people would be moving and some not. So I think we should consider whether we want to exempt those kinds of small landlords, and just interested to hear what people have to say about that.
Okay, very good. And I will second both of these for the purposes of discussion, understanding that there is meat potentially to be put on the bones of these amendments going forward in terms of specifics. Is that acceptable, Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you.
Very good. I was going to offer up a similar amendment to what Commissioner Fritz has just offered up based on some of the testimony I've received, and I'll describe that later, but I really want to hear what other folks are saying. Commissioner Saltzman, did you have any amendments? Very good. Then we are ready for the meat of the show, which is you, the people, your chance to speak.
Carla, are you aware that we have residents of the Normandy apartment coming in now?
I've got the people from the Titan, but I have other people who have signed
up. If you could just hold on a moment.
Yeah, and if I could also ask the clerk, how many people do we currently have signed up for testimony?
118.
So we have 118. So quick calculation, that is hours and hours and hours and hours. So here's what we will do. Let's commence testimony. It is now 4 p.m. In about half an hour, let's take a very brief break. And then let's reconvene. Let's see where we are at 5:30. And we may decide, I'll take the temperature of my colleagues up here as to whether or not we want to take a dinner break and come back or continue. And so we'll just make that determination. Again, everybody gets 3 minutes to speak. State your name for the record. Ideally, if you're part of a group, you pick a couple of representatives and everybody can stand, just as these folks are doing very well right here. And if your comments have already been made, please just come to the microphone and say, I'm for it or I'm against it, and briefly state why. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Noelle Studer Spivak. I'm a landlord, and I also serve as Riegler PTA president. I'm here to encourage you to vote yes on this emergency ordinance. Our community lies just south of the airport and provides many service workers to help run the city. I want to be sure that everyone understands that our region's future depends on children having access to good schools and reliable rental housing. An important factor in a child's success is community cohesion, so that wherever the child goes, the church, the school, the neighborhood, there are familiar people with high expectations for them. When an economically vulnerable child is uprooted from their community, it permanently decreases his or her chances in life. I have some research to back this up. We're talking about the next generation of Portlanders here. The rental shortage is real. At Riegler School, 14 children have left due to economic eviction so far this year. Friday, before the bitter cold MLK weekend, teachers took up a collection to help a family stay in a hotel. 211 resources are tapped out. Two Riegler and Scott families will be evicted this week if they can't pay their newly increased rent. Finally, what will happen with the 26 children from the Normandy apartments whose rent is doubling April 1st? This mass displacement is deeply affecting all of our students and teachers. Five of the parents in this group are core members of our school's volunteer community, helping in the cafeteria and recess for 10 hours each week. I urge council to pass the stopgap measure to slow the economic evictions scattering our children. Relocation assistance is a good step toward helping families land on their feet, not the street, so that all children have a chance to succeed and share their gifts with the world. Following me, we'll have testimony from three members of our school community who recently received the rent increases. We're grateful to Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Udaly for introducing this ordinance. The ordinance that passed last year to increase notice from 30 to 90 days has been a really big help for us, and we appreciate that. Big thanks to Multnomah County and Home Forward, who found rental assistance so that our kids can complete the school year at Riegler. And also thanks to the many allies who are coming together to support our families. Finally, we thank each of you for considering this measure, and we hope that you'll pass it today.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Bollinger, and I have three children, Alexander, Bella, and Gabby, ages 8, 4, and 1. Our family are residents at the Normandy Apartment Building in Northeast Portland, where we have lived for close to 10 years. They have recently gave notice to increase our rent by 100%. I feel this is unjust to double someone's rent all at once. It is unlikely my family nor any of the other residents will be able to find the means to afford this rent increase. Therefore, our only option will be to move. With moving, of course, comes more stress. Our children will be torn away from the community they are comfortable in, and for my husband and I, it will mainly be financial stress. It will be difficult to find the means for a new apartment. Application fees, new deposit, first and last month's rent, a moving truck, etc. If landlords were required to provide relocation funds in a situation like mine, it would help ease the stress of the situation immensely. That is why I'm asking you to please vote yes on this ordinance. I want to say thank you to Chloe Udaly and everybody else that has proposed this ordinance, and to all others who have helped and supported us throughout this hardship. I know I speak for everyone when I say it is appreciated from the bottom of our hearts.
Thank you.
My name is Jessica Sanchez. I have been in the neighborhood for 15 years in the Northeast, and in the past 4 years, the rent has increased a lot. And I work as an early educator for Head Start, and even working in that field, it's not enough. My rent went to $1,300, and that's how much I make in one paycheck. It leaves me with nothing to pay my utility bills, and it's making me cut in my childhood. Everything that I pay comes out of my pocket. And then, if nothing comes out of this meeting, starting April, I'll be forced to go in a living room or go share a house with somebody else because I can't pay it. I can't pay, and so... So I really encourage you to please vote or at least take on some control, because rent has been so hardship in the 4 years. And back then it was so easy to move and just relocate. But now I'm just speaking for myself and for other families who don't have the courage to come here and talk, and they just keep moving. So I have my child is in kindergarten this year, and he... going to receive speech therapy, so I don't want to move him from there, and so it's just a lot. So this thing is just very hard, and I can't see myself in the streets. I can't see him in the streets or moving him, so I really please take action and vote or come with a measure that will help everybody. And there's other families who are going through like me, and I can't see, April is so close already, and so we don't know how we're going to do it. We don't know if we're going to make it. So please, so thank you if you guys do pass this or vote for it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for coming. It's really helpful.
Thank you.
Hi. Thank you, children. Good afternoon.
Hola, mi nombre es Juana Santos.
Hello, my name is Juana Santos.
Tengo 10 años en Cooley, Norris de Cooley, y 5 años en los apartamentos Normandy.
I've lived for 10 years in Cooley and 5 years in the Normandy apartments.
Bueno, pues... estamos por la misma causa, mis vecinos y yo, para pedir apoyo.
And I'm here with all my neighbors asking for
porque,
your support.
Bueno, creo que es muy injusto el que hagan ver doblado lo de la renta.
It's very unjust to have our rents doubled.
Los nuevos dueños. Y bueno,
by the new owners.
Nosotros no nos quisiéramos mover por la razón que tenemos a nuestros hijos en el colegio. Ellos están muy contentos, muy a gusto. En mi familia, bueno, tengo un niño que recibe clases especiales.
One of the reasons we don't want to move is because we don't want our children to have to change schools. They're very content at our school, and for me, one of my children is in special education classes.
Y bueno, él ha recibido en ese colegio una ayuda muy buena.
And he has received a very excellent support at this school.
Y bueno, no nos quisiéramos mover de ahí porque es mover a los niños. Ellos están muy muy contentos con su escuela.
And so the children are so happy and content at their school.
Lo que nosotros estamos pidiendo es una renta accesible porque es demasiado lo que han subido. En estos tiempos el trabajo no hay mucho por la temporada.
And what we're asking for is a rent that is affordable, and reasonable, because especially with the weather we've experienced, work has been down.
Bueno, quisiéramos un apoyo económico para poder, no se llega a algún acuerdo con los nuevos dueños, para podernos mudar. Pero lo que nos gustaría es que pudiéramos seguir viviendo ahí.
What we'd really like is to keep living where we are, but if we aren't able to reach an agreement with the new owner, then it would be really important for us to have some economic help with moving.
Con una renta justa, porque es injusto, es demasiado lo que han subido.
But what we really would like is to stay in our current homes with a just rent, because it's completely unjust, this rent increase we're facing.
Bueno, esperemos que sea aprobado, y gracias.
So we hope that you will approve this proposal. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I could make a quick announcement for those that are in the overflow room at the Portland building, there is some seating upstairs now if some of you would like to come back across the street.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've got some people who have indicated they are need special needs. They are Lisa, I believe the last name is Kitten. I know she signed up earlier with a child. She may be in the child care room. Angela Thomas and Timothy Markcroft. Jessica Greenlee.
Mr. Walsh, why don't you go ahead and start?
Sure.
I got Hung Nam, Minka Wallace, Koya Crespin, and Hilda Hernandez.
Good afternoon. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. It was very difficult for me to come here today. Afternoon, because the cold weather has a terrible effect on the oxygen. So it really caused me to struggle to be here. But I wanted to be here to congratulate you on this, because so often I come before you and blast you. This is a measure you should be very proud of. And you have to ask yourself some questions. Why is the owners of the complex doubling the rent? Can they justify that financially? Commissioner Fish suggests that we have some rules. Who's going to make the decision of hardship for the owners? That sounds reasonable. Well, you sunset this ordinance 1 year. So why not have all of that stuff take place within that year? So turn around to the owners and say, okay, tell us why this is a financial hardship for you. Let's see the data. Let's see the financial papers that you have. Let's see your taxes. That's a possibility. The owners of these complexes are multimillionaires, for God's sakes. Okay. The ones that showed up here today are just almost multimillionaires. My complex that I lived in was bought a year ago, and our rent has gone up. But our landlord said from the beginning he was in it for the money. That's it. In it for the money, bottom line. He raised our rent 10%, which is right on the border, which is reasonable. Can we